Good evening, everyone. It is such a privilege to preach the Word of God. So let's ask the Lord for help. Father, we thank you again. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us, guide us, and help us tonight. Thank you, Father, as we commit this meeting into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, John chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. John chapter 11, verse 25 and to 27. Let me share my screen with you. So, the resurrection and the life. So, John chapter 11, verse 25. So all the Bible verses I will be reading tonight are from King James Version. So John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. So these words were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ to Martha at the tomb of her brother Lazarus. Death had come, entered a home. Tears were falling. Hope seemed buried beneath a stone. Yet in the midst of sorrow, Lord Jesus did not merely offer comfort. He revealed his identity. He declared, I am the resurrection and the life. So he did not say, I can give resurrection, but I am the resurrection. So the resurrection is not merely an event. The resurrection is found in a person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection is not merely an event that will happen someday. The resurrection is a person. So Jesus Christ himself is the source of life, the conqueror of death, and the fulfillment of God's promise from Genesis to Revelation. Tonight, we're going to consider five great truths. Yes. Yeah. Number one, the resurrection was promised in the Old Testament. Amen. Number two, the resurrection was demonstrated by Christ. Number three, the resurrection gives life to believers. Number four, the resurrection calls for a personal response. Number five, the resurrection and the future glory. So, number one, the resurrection was promised in the Old Testament. So the doctrine of resurrection did not begin in the New Testament. From the earliest pages of Scripture, God revealed his power over death. Long before Lord Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb, God had spoken of victory over death. So Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job chapter 19, verse 25. So Job's hope. Job looked beyond the grief and saw a living Redeemer. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So Job suffered deeply, yet he looked beyond the grief. He believed that his Redeemer lived and that he would one day stand in a resurrected body before God. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. King David's confidence. So, Bill McDonough says in his Believer's Bible Commentary, Psalm 16, Christ Arose, he says, the key to understand Psalm 16 is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 25 to 28, where Peter quotes verse 8 to 11a as referring to the resurrection of Christ. So King David's confidence, Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasure forevermore. So this prophecy pointed ultimately to the resurrection of Christ, as the Apostle Peter later explained in Acts chapter 2. So Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, verse 8. So Isaiah's prophecy, centuries before Christ, God promised that death will be swallowed up. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. So John Nielsen Darby writes in his synopsis of the book of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 25. The resurrection of the faithful will have taken place. I say the faithful, for it is death swallowed up in victory. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 15 applies it thus. So the resurrection of the faithful will take place. Darby says the faithful, because this is the resurrection in which death is swallowed up in victory. So as the Apostle Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, that triumph over death belongs to those who are raised in Christ. And he applies this very passage to their resurrection. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel's vision. The Old Testament saints understood that death was not the end. Amen. God has promised a resurrection. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and the everlasting contempt. So many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, sleep is a common biblical metaphor for death, especially the death of the body. So the dust of the earth records humanity's creation from dust, and God's sentence after the fall, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Daniel is speaking of those who have physically died. Shall awake. This is the language of resurrection. Just as a sleeping person awakens, those who have died will be raised by God. The metaphor emphasizes that death is not the final state. Summer to everlasting life. This refers to the righteous who are raised to receive eternal life in God's kingdom. The word everlasting indicates that this life is permanent and glorious. And the sum to shame and the everlasting contempt. So the wicked are also raised, but not to enjoy life with God. Instead, they are raised for judgment, resulting in shame and everlasting contempt. This is one of the strongest Old Testament affirmations that both the righteous and the wicked will experience a future resurrection with very different outcomes. So why does Daniel say many instead of all? The Hebrew word translated many often functions inclusively rather than restrictively. In other words, it can mean the multitude or the many without implying that others are excluded. So the context divides those who are raised into only two groups. Only two groups. Those raised to everlasting life and those raised to everlasting contempt. Since no third group is mentioned, many interpreters understand many here as referring to humanity generally rather than suggesting only a portion of the dead are raised. This understanding fits well with later passages, such as John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, where Lord Jesus said that all who are in griefs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 is foundational because it teaches death is not the end of human existence. God will bodily raise the dead. There is a final judgment. Eternal destinies differ according to one's standing before God. Everlasting life for the righteous, everlasting contempt for the wicked. So the New Testament builds on this hope with passages such as 1 Corinthians and Revelation chapter 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Revelation chapter 20, presenting the resurrection and the final judgment in greater detail. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 finds its ultimate fulfillment through the resurrection of Christ, who guarantees the future resurrection of all humanity. The Old Testament consistently points toward a future resurrection when the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." He was declaring that every promise of God finds its fulfillment in him. So, number two, The resurrection was demonstrated by Christ. Lord Jesus did not only speak about resurrection. He demonstrated his power over death. So risen Lazarus. In John chapter 11, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Humanly speaking, the situation was hopeless. All hope was gone, but Lord Jesus cried, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead man walked out of the tomb. This miracle was a sign pointing to a greater truth. Lord Jesus has authority over death itself. So Christ's own resurrection. Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. The greatest proof came on the third day after the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." The empty tomb is the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." So if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. But the Apostle Paul triumphantly declares in the same chapter, verse 20, "But now, in Christ, risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them are slept." But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them are slept. Praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Jesus Christ is the resurrection because he conquered the grief. The stone was rolled away. Death could not hold him. Because Jesus Christ rose, believers have a living hope. Our faith rests on a risen Savior. Number three, the resurrection gives life to believers. Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." This is the promise of eternal life. Physical death may come, but spiritual life in Christ can never be extinguished. So, spiritual resurrection now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Before we are physically raised, we are spiritually raised. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins." So through Christ, dead hearts come alive. So physical resurrection later. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the believers, death is not the end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So one day graves will open, and the redeemed will rise in glorified bodies. This corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. So the Christian does not face death with despair. We face it with expectation. So number four, the resurrection calls for personal response. After declaring himself to be the resurrection and the life, Lord Jesus asked Martha an important question. So believest thou this? That same question comes to us today. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do we trust him for eternal life? Resurrection hope is not found in religion, morality, or human effort. Resurrection is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The issue is not merely whether we understand the doctrine of resurrection. The issue is whether we believe in the risen Christ. So Martha answered, "Yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." This is the confession every sinner must make. May that be the confession of every heart here tonight. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 declares that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Number five, the resurrection and the future glory. So the resurrection points beyond this present world. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. So the Apostle John saw the final victory. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and that there will no longer be death. There will no longer be sorrow and the anguish, or crying or pain, for the former order of things has passed away. So, and he will wipe away every tears from their eyes. This is a beautiful picture of God's personal care for his people. Amen. Every cause of grief, loss, and the suffering will be removed, and God himself will comfort his redeemed. There will no longer be death. Death, the last enemy brought into the world through sin, will be abolished forever. So no one in the new creation will ever die again. So there will no longer be sorrow and anguish or crying or pain. All the consequences of living in a fallen world, grief, mourning, emotional distress, physical pain, and suffering will come to an end. This is not merely temporary relief, but a permanent condition. So, for the former order of things has passed away, the present world where all its corruption, sin, and the curse will have passed away. God will establish a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, and the brokenness of the old creation will never return. So in the context of Revelation chapter 21, this verse describes the final and the eternal blessing of God's people after the resurrection and the final judgment. It fulfills the hope expressed throughout the scripture that God will completely reverse the effects of sin and the death so that his people will enjoy unbroken fellowship with him forever. It is the consummation of the promise that death is swallowed up in victory. That's the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. The same Jesus who raised Lazarus and then rose from the grave, will one day abolish death forever. Then the words of Isaiah will be completely fulfilled. He will swallow up death in victory. So what does the resurrection mean for us today? So it means no grief is too deep for Christ. It means no sinner is too dead for his saving power. It means no believer's future ends in the cemetery. It means Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grief. So, when fear comes, remember the empty tomb. When sorrow comes, remember Lazarus. When death approaches, Remember the promise of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, we shall live also. So the Old Testament promised the resurrection. The New Testament reveals that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. His own resurrection guarantees the resurrection of all who believe in him. Therefore, let us not fear the grief. Let us not despair in the times of loss. Our Savior lives. The tomb is not the end. For the child of God, death is a doorway into the presence of Christ and the promise of a glorious resurrection. As the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. May we answer with Martha, yeah, Lord, I believe. So, you know that I always share the Handel's music. So this one is that since by man came death, is the second chorus in part three of George Frederick Handel's Messiah, HWV 56. Join is text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. The chorus contrasts the tragedy of humanity's fall through Adam with the triumph of the resurrection through Jesus Christ. Handel vividly portrays this contrast by alternating slow, solemn music for the words, since by man came in death, with bright, joyful passages for by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So the chorus powerfully proclaims our hope that although death entered the world through Adam, eternal life and the resurrection come through the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's enjoy together. Let me make some adjustment here.
Smartphone connected.
And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who declared, I am the resurrection and the life. We praise you that he conquered the grief and rose again in victory. Thank you, Father, for the promise spoken through the prophets, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and confirmed by the empty tomb. Father, strengthen our faith when we face sorrow, uncertainty, and death. Help us to trust in the risen Savior with all our hearts. If there is anyone who has not yet believed, draw them to Lord Jesus today, that they may receive eternal life. Comfort those who mourn, encourage those who are weary, remind every believer that because Jesus Christ lives, we also shall live. Fill us with the hope of the coming resurrection, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we shall be with the Lord forever. May our lives proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the resurrection of all who believe. Separate us with your blessings and take each of us home safely. Bring us back next week. Thank you, Father, as we pray and give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Well done. Very encouraging.
Thank you, Paul. The Lord bless you.
Yeah, Lord bless you. Love you. Keep going, brother. Keep going.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you.